Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We live in an age with constant video footage. It's just a click away. When Dr. Dow, the United Airlines passenger, was removed forcibly from that plane recently, we got to see the whole event from three different angles. Even back on 9/11, 2001, isn't it just remarkable how there were multiple angles of the Twin Towers that day? On an otherwise mundane morning in New York City, just happened to have the cameras on, facing up to see that awful, horrific event. The old adage, seeing is believing, still rings true, but it has been replaced by seeing is standard. It's everywhere present. The all-seeing eye on the dollar bill has become a reality. Nobody says anymore, I won't believe it unless I see it. They simply say, okay, Google, and hello, Siri, show me the footage. The whole department of the Doubting Thomas has been put on notice. As smartphones increase, skepticism decreases. Until you wake up and remember that there's still a significant part of your life that is off the grid. I don't have any video footage of my three kids being born, but I still believe they were. And some people still sing, oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam and the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard, period. God chose to reveal the resurrection of Jesus in a time without smartphones and radio and telegraph. All he had for proof was his body and a few select appearances to his disciples over a 40-day period. That would be enough for the gospel to go viral before going viral was a thing. And because there were no video footage, none of it, only word of mouth, there was still plenty of room for doubt. The first time Jesus met with the disciples, the 10, that's 12 minus Judas Iscariot, and then the 11 minus Thomas, who was obviously out getting Starbucks for the rest of them or something. The first time Jesus appears without Thomas, the disciples were hiding together, and the doors were locked for fear of the Jews, and it says that Jesus came and stood among them. It doesn't say that someone unlocked the door and let him in. It just says Jesus came and stood among them. In the resurrected state of Jesus, he's like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be. He's not confined by doors. Which makes me think back to the earlier in the day, the empty tomb. You recall that the big tombstone was removed, had been rolled away. It makes me think that that really wasn't necessary, was it? That was for our benefit and for those who came to the tomb to see that he was risen. That was the evidence that he is not there. But he didn't need to. That was a sign for us to know that Jesus is risen, but he could have just passed through the stone, just like Jesus used to walk on water. And again, because we need to see this to believe, Jesus showed them his hands and his side. He didn't need that for himself, of course. He showed them his hands and his side. The hands that had been nailed through on Good Friday and the spear, which was the final proof that our Lord Jesus was dead. Upon visible verification, it says the disciples were glad. Their doubt, their despair, the depression over the death had been turned into gladness. Neurons must have been firing in their brain rapidly. What does this mean? And Jesus provides the answer He says, peace to you. He said twice, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, even I am now sending you. And he also breathed on them and gave them the Holy Spirit, teaches them about the forgiveness of sins. That's what this means. This whole death and resurrection of Jesus is about peace through Jesus' death, the forgiveness that he accomplished on the cross, which is for all the world. And now the joy of knowing Jesus crucified and risen from the dead, because this means life in eternity with God, resurrected life with Jesus and God forever. What a moment that must have been for the disciples, minus Thomas. After Jesus departed, Thomas returned with the Starbucks or whatever he had. But he doubted when he heard that Jesus was risen from the others. And this went on for 8 days, which must have been quite interesting. 10 disciples saying, hey, we saw the Lord risen. And Thomas just shaking his head, thinking the rest of them are nuts, that he's never getting Starbucks for them ever again. They're obviously been eating some mushrooms, hallucinating, tricksters. If 10 of your friends told you something that they witnessed and they didn't let up for 8 days, you start to wonder, who's the crazy one? Who's the stubborn one? Who's the one with 3 kids, but since he has no video footage of them, says, I'm not sure how they got here? Thankfully, our Lord didn't allow Thomas to linger in doubt any longer. God had a purpose for Thomas. He wouldn't be forever doubting Didymus, the twin, or doubting Thomas, as we often think of him. He would be Thomas the apostle, the one who not just gets to see Jesus, but he gets to touch the wounds of God in the flesh, crucified and now risen. Maybe we should call him Thomas the Toucher. I believe in rainbows, even though I can't touch them. I believe in the 9/11 attacks, even though I've never touched Ground Zero, only seen it on video. I trust the evidence provided by other people, not everything, but the ones with the ring of truth. There will always be skeptics of the resurrection. God chose this particular time without smartphones, radio, telegraph. But today's gospel is particularly for them, the skeptics, the doubters, isn't it? Jesus cares for them by giving them this word of Thomas the doubter, Thomas the believer. He cares for you. He knows who you are, you who still dwell in doubt. He wants you to know him like Thomas gets to know him, as my Lord and my God. And then we heard Jesus say, just to wrap it all up and a little bow on it, have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And that's us, isn't it? And Jesus did many other signs that weren't written in the book, but all of this was written, John says, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, that you have life in his name. You see, God doesn't want your amen just because you've seen it all yourself. He wants you to take his word for it. Not all hearing is true, but hearing God is. The proof that he gave was enough. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the wise. Some lawyers today will tell you the evidence of Jesus' resurrection really isn't all that weak. So maybe it's us who are stubborn or slow to believe, we're too reliant on our smartphones. Maybe it's time for us to wake up and remember that much of life is lived off the grid. And this is just how it was always meant to be, for the sake of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.